Siren Radio.
Wonderful. August the 7th, of course, yesterday. Now we're in the 8th of the 8th of the 18. The charity Help for Heroes launched both an online and physical exhibition showcasing the artwork of 80 wounded, injured and sick veterans. To talk us through some of the wonderful dream behind this, we're delighted to speak to the Head of Health and Physical Wellbeing at Help for Heroes with over 13 years' experience of health and wellbeing. As we said before, it's John Crudgington. John, welcome to the programme. Talk to us a bit about this exhibition and what this has been put together for and how people can access this and so on and so forth.
Yes, thank you. So creativity plays a vital role in our development as we grow up. So from a young age, we're encouraged to be expressive. We communicate through art. It helps us in terms of putting our emotions down on paper in a way that could be considered productive. Also helps in the term of communication. So what we thought was, as a recovery centre, as a charity, we deliver a lot of art-based courses and activities, and that falls in the many mediums, so from horticulture to woodwork to different arts and crafts, music, for example. And this exhibition is an opportunity for us to take that to the public and demonstrate to them the value of that in the recovery of an individual.
Now, this particular exhibition, the Creative Force Physical Exhibition, is at the Marl Galleries in London from the 7th to the 19th of August. So time for us to send our London correspondent Richard Fitzwilliams along to work his way through that. Looking at some of the numbers here, 19,000 people have been supported by Help for Heroes so far. It's sadly a need which is growing because people don't realise that, yes, we have our armed forces that are fabulous, having to cope with all manner of cutbacks and issues relating to that. And yet there are issues here in which seven people being medically discharged from the armed forces every single day. There's more needs than ever before, it would seem, for agencies like Help for Heroes to get involved with this.
Yeah, that's exactly true. So as you mentioned, there's seven people being medically discharged every single day. You know, we see people coming through with physical injuries, psychological injuries, a combination of both, and illnesses as well. And those individuals, the guys and girls that we support, need that ongoing support. We offer lots and lots of ways to enable them to manage their own recovery, and creativity is just one really good example of that. But as you said, the need is there as much, if not more, than it's ever been before. So getting the public behind us, demonstrating that we deliver and support our guys and girls, and the public can get behind that, is really, really key.
Tessa, have you got any questions you want to put to Tom? John, I should say.
Yes, I do. I mean, I've actually been to a few Help for Heroes
events. And your mum, of course, has signed for them.
Yes, she has.
Oh,
so I'm quite familiar with Help for Heroes, and it's brilliant what you do. I mean, apart from the expedition, how can more people get involved and help?
No, there's lots of ways people can, and we really encourage them to. So obviously, donations play a really important part and really do help us out, but people can volunteer. If they go along to the Help for Heroes website, you'll see ways you can volunteer and get involved. They can take part in activities, in events. They can attend the exhibitions such as this or other activities that we hold. So I think there's lots of different ways. Donating helps, but there's many other ways people can get involved as well, should they wish to.
And it's not just about our past veterans either, is it? It's about sort of the here and now. I think maybe we forget at times about our current soldiers.
Yeah, so I think the veterans are an important part, obviously. You're right when you say that. So we do support serving personnel as well, certainly in that transition as well from being medically discharged back into civilian life. And I think, the perception is that it's a quieter landscape out there, so the support may not be needed. But do you know what? People have got long-term chronic injuries and illnesses, as well as the fact that people still get injured and ill in exercise and on sort of operations all the time.
Graham, I'll bring you in on this particular moment, because Graham, clearly, as a journalist, as a broadcaster, you're telling stories, you're telling narrative. Mm-hmm. I mean, this again is something which we think keeps saying every year, we must do something about this. But that notion of getting former service personnel telling their own story, creating their own story, that must be a wonderful way forward.
I would have said so, but John, you said I think seven people are being medically discharged. Is that every day?
That is every day, yes.
So what do they do and where do they go?
So the military will have a programme to support the individuals as they transition out of the military, but then once they've left the military, it's up to the individual, so they can enter into further training. But a lot of these guys, especially if they've entered into the armed forces straight from school, will need support in terms of for example, with our welfare needs, it could be around finances, around housing, it could be around the career focus, around, you know, what's the next role for that person that isn't going to be within the military. So I think well-being, we see well-being as fundamental to supporting the individual in terms of their quality of life, and you need, you know, positive physical and psychological well-being to be able to make that step forward. So we are there, you know, to support them and help with that transition period. Some people will be absolutely fine, but for a large amount of people, you know, they will need that support.
So have you got some examples, or just one example, of the way in which you're able to help people? Have you got one example of somebody who you've helped who's yeah. very recently come out, or...?
Talking to somebody yesterday who's used, you know, obviously with Creative Force happening at the moment, it's somebody who's used art as their catharsis, as their emotional release, really. So, you know, an individual who may be looking at getting physical and psychological support, but using art as a way to find what was initially a new hobby and has now turned into potentially a vocation for that individual. They still have support when required and where needed, of course. But having that hobby, that interest, has just given them a new level of interest and a new sort of future and passion that they can direct their energy into. And for that person, as they say, it's made a real difference.
I'm just looking at the Creative Force showcasing the power of creativity in recovery on the creativeforcehelpforheroes.org.uk page. The gallery is still loading up, but in terms of the sort of ways from that, in a real sense, the inspiration behind these works of art can only, as say, help not only us appreciate what's going on with respect to protecting the country, keeping it safe and so on and so forth, but also the day-by-day stuff that the people in the armed forces actually get up to.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the questions come out about, you know, the theatres of war and what people will see, and people respond differently to it. With the artwork, some of the artwork is quite stark and quite dark. And an example of that may be where someone's at, you know, the beginning of their recovery journey, but it's not always the case. You know, people get great delight in taking part in woodwork, you know, in horticulture, you know, joining a choir and singing, you know, and it's for these people, it's I think really important that there's a positive outlook, some hope as they look forward. And you'll see that. You'll see the many different mediums being used, but also the many different messages and the stories behind the artwork at the exhibition.
Certainly in terms of inspirational stories, how Penny Lyons carved a new path in life, how Lucinda Barker stitched together a brighter future. You really look at all aspects of the arts here, not only kind of the sculpting aspects, but also the narrative ones as well. From your own perspective, is this something which you see as an annual-based thing? Is this something which can only sort of grow and grow? Would we actually see this as some way in which the whole process is going to be developed to obviously assist in Help for Heroes and so on?
Yeah, so the actual activities and the courses will continue to run as they do in our recovery centres on a regular basis, and they will, you know, continue to grow with support from the public. In terms of the event, yes, certainly we would love to be able to have the opportunity to do this on a regular basis. And you know, demonstrate the value and benefit it holds. There's a lot of research out there that demonstrates that creativity can help in terms of things like managing obesity in the environment, you know, the physical benefits, the psychological benefits, you know, self-esteem, the social benefits. So I think anything that we can do in this space can only be, you know, valued as positive.
As the opening line says from Welcome to Creative Force, those who have served our country and their families experience struggles that some of us will never understand. Maybe in some way this is just beginning to redress that balance. It's Creative Force, the exhibition which, as we mentioned, you can find online. Would you like to share with us the online address once more, John, in terms of how people can actually look at this in a virtual environment at least?
Yes, certainly. It's www.helpforheroes.org.uk and look for Creative Force.
And then if you fancy a trip down to London, and why not, check out Mall Gallery's North Gallery in the Mall, St James's, London, between the 7th of August yesterday and the 19th of August. And it's completely free admission. That's outrageously wonderful. So great stuff there. But obviously donate to Help for Heroes as well from that point of view. It's been very worthwhile, I feel. And I've been privileged to connect with your good self today. John, have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the programme from your own point of view?
No, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Certainly, please do.
School bag in hand, she leaves home in the early morning, waving goodbye with an absent-minded smile. I watch her go. surge of that well-known sadness, and I have to sit down for a while. The feeling that I'm losing her forever, and without really entering the world, I'm glad whenever I can share her laughter, that funny little girl. Slipping through my fingers all the time, I try to capture every minute, the feeling in it. Slipping through my fingers all the time, do I really see what's in her mind? Each time I think I'm close to knowing, she keeps on growing, slipping through my fingers all the time. Sleep in our eyes, her and me at the breakfast table, barely awake, I let precious time go by. There's that odd melancholy feeling and the sense of guilt I can't deny. What happened to those wonderful adventures, the places I had planned for us to go? Some of that we did, but most we didn't. Slipping through my fingers all the time, I try to capture every minute, the feeling in it. Slipping through my fingers all the time, do I really see what's in her mind? Each time I think I'm close to knowing, she keeps on growing. Slipping through my fingers all the time. Sometimes I wish that I and save it from the funny tricks of time, slipping through my fingers.
Benny, Bjorn and Frieda, of course, slipping through my fingers.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
But are you back in Edinburgh for the festival, Bill Coles? That's the question we need to ask.
No, I'm not. I'm on the train to London. I'm off to the cricket tomorrow for the second test against India.
Well, you see, this is why you were the must-book co-host for the return of Graham Lloyd, author, of course, of Azat, the Six Sixers Ball Mystery, The Legend, The Duke, The Auction. I have been privileged to read the 200-odd pages that have comprised the tale of the, well, I almost have to say, the strange shenanigans of a very famous London auction house. Christie's, sorry, there are other auctions available, but, you know, the challenges that are put there. And, of course, when we start talking about the classic line, something you need to work into one of your romantic novels, a Bill, surely has to be, do not cry if the sun sets at the end of the day, because the tears will not let you enjoy the beauty of the stars. Slipping through your fingers. It's just, you see, when you get lines from that, you think, so he's in space, what does it make any difference whatsoever? It's still part and parcel of the way that things actually. This is from somebody who I believe claimed to have actually purchased the ball from a customs area in India, and refused to effectively let it go back. Or he didn't refuse, let's be honest, he didn't refuse. He effectively has proven to be slightly challenging. But
yeah, he was a solar energy expert in India who bought the ball that isn't the real ball, at an online auction. It was a part of unclaimed goods at New Delhi Airport. And every time he emailed me, he would put that little phrase that you just said, which you need to repeat again.
Do you think so?
Alex, yeah, I can't remember.
Do not cry if the sun sets at the end of the day, because the tears will not let you enjoy the beauty of the stars.
That's right. Every email had that along the bottom. And he was, frankly, a serial liar. But I'm sure, just for a moment, Bill, you want to talk about that wonderful first test, don't you?
It was a great test.
Wasn't it fantastic? Oh.
Yes, poor old Stokesy. Can we just put the court case on hold for
it? That's the real problem at the moment, starting tomorrow. Who do they replace Ben Stokes with? He's in court in Bristol. Mm. They might have Wokes, they might have Ali, but... Mm. A lot of people have been talking, as you know, Bill, about the demise of Test cricket, but we had, 3.5 days of absolutely...
As a move, reduced to 4 days. No more than 4 days. Just have 4 days.
Wow. It was fantastic, wasn't it, Bill?
Yes, it was a terrific match. I'd say the kids I know, they all prefer the singing and dancing of 2020.
Barmy, 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 army. Interesting enough, despite the challenges with respect to the question of truth, I see that Ashish Singhal, with his wife Nandini, does actually feature in photographs in the book, Tessie. You might have a look at the photographic section there. You can see that. Looking at it.
Yeah, and I have actually been back to him because he's the owner of the...
He's on the show now.
He's the owner of the ball that's not the ball, and I'm trying to get Christie's to change their minds and sort out the... Well, to have another look at the ball, which they sold, and he actually has the ball, and I've emailed him and said, would you send it back to me? But so far...
I've got to admire your persistence, and yeah. I think that's very... And readers of the book, and there should be many of them, make sure you get hold of a copy of How's That Six-Sixers Ball Mystery. You reach a stage where you think, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
I felt that all along, but I kept going. I just thought, maybe I can get the ball back. Maybe I can take it back to Christie's. Maybe I can persuade them to admit that they've made a mistake. But in the end, it didn't happen. But it's not over yet, because I am just about to email them again.
Well, and of course, this time, all being well, we actually have some significant support that have lent the...
Yeah.
Considerable connections to your good self, as I'm attempting to actually dial up William Coles again. And
well,
to connect.
You carry on dialing, and I'll tell you a little bit about the
as a multitasker. Is it Bill Coles or is it going to be Ashish? You know, this could be all sorts of things. There, are you there, Ashish? How are you? No, he's gone very quiet. Is that Bill Coles? He's gone again. Never mind. He's clearly destiny is taking. Maybe it's the train. He is on the train. If he's going down to London, he could have gone in the tunnel. Could be the end of everything, really, from that perspective. I interrupted you there. Share with us.
What I'm trying to do is get Christie's in the 50th anniversary of the Six Sixes. It happened 50 years ago. Mm. I proved with my first book 10 years ago. Sorry, I suggested with my book 10 years ago that the ball was a bit dodgy. And then 5 years ago, I produced How's That, the Six Sixes Ball Mystery, which proves...
Even Malcolm Nash has said, it wasn't the ball that I bowled.
But what I'm trying to do in this 50th anniversary year is say to Christie's, look, this is a special year. There's a chance for you to revisit it. So what I've done is I've given them some new evidence, and I'm also trying to contact people who I know who like cricket.
On the other hand, Bonham's perfectly okay. No problems whatsoever.
Now it's very interesting you say that, because when I realised that this ball wasn't the real ball and it came up for sale again at Bonham's in 2012, I actually went over from Lincoln to Chester and said, look, here is my evidence. Uh-huh. Listen to it, look at it, read it, and then decide what you want to do. And within an hour, the guy had said, this is compelling, it's conclusive, we are withdrawing the ball from auction.
Just like to point out, why can't Linney, if you're listening to this or some of your people actually are, just bear that in mind. You know, it's important.
Well, I've mentioned it, and I'm going to email them tomorrow. And one of the things I'm sending them is what I've called celebrity responses, because I've contacted about 20 people, and I've had replies from the following: Theresa May, the Prime Minister; David Gower, the former England cricket captain and current Sky Sports presenter; the former Liberal Democrat leader, Paddy Ashdown; Rory Bremner, Britain's top impressionist. Geoffrey Archer, who is, he claims, one of Britain's best-selling novelists, and I think he is. And then today...
He did some time around here, I believe.
And today, he did, back in 2003.
Yes, exactly.
And then today I heard from the lyricist Sir Tim Rice. Now, I'll just run through them if we've got time. The Prime Minister was most grateful for your kind thought. I sent her a copy of the book and has asked me to send her best wishes to you.
With the things she's had to do with Brexit
and Boris. I was going
to
say, I'm a little surprised that... But to be fair, she answered. I got a letter back from 10 Downing Street in about 10 days. And bearing in mind everything else that's going on, I thought that was brilliant.
This is way more interesting, though.
Oh. David Gower said... I was blissfully unaware of the mystery surrounding the infamous ball that Gary Sobers kept depositing out of the ground at Swansea with those six sixes in the over. Graham, I wish you well in revealing the truth to all. Then Paddy Ashdown said, to be honest, cricket doesn't interest me at all, but justice does, and this is a piece of injustice that needs to be exposed and put right. Then Rory Bremner said, good luck in proving your case. I'd like to think if I'd been bowling to Gary Sobers, it would have been different. He'd have hit seven. Geoffrey Archer, fascinating, and I shall be interested to see the outcome. However, as Gary Sobers is a personal friend, I fear this is one I will have to bypass.
But Gary's not a fault here. He's not a fault at all.
He's not at all.
He just sort of agreed the whole thing. Didn't quite like his agent, though, but that's another story.
And then... the latest one from Tim Rice, who is a collector of Wisden almanacs and a former president of the MCC. He said, good luck with your campaign, although I have no inside information to help establish which ball was hit for six sixes. Best wishes. I hope the truth will emerge.
But I'm scared of living too fast, too slow. Regret, remorse, hold on. No, no, I gotta go. There's no starting over, no new beginnings. Time raises on. Just gotta keep on keeping on. Gotta keep on going, looking straight out on the road. Can't worry about what's behind you, what's coming for you further up the road. Try not to hold on to what is gone. I try to do right what is wrong. I try to keep on keeping on. Yeah, I just keep on keeping on. I hear a voice call, calling out for me. These shackles I made in an attempt to be free. Be it for ease.
Let's just see whether he's identified first aid kit in any way, shape or form. Malcolm Tomlinson, a hit from 2015. Have you got any information about first aid kit? First of all, what did you think about the singers?
I thought they were absolutely fantastic. I'm actually aware of first aid kit, Alex. I've never seen them, but I know that they've done quite a few festivals, and my kids have seen them, and they both love them.
Well,
and I think they've played fairly close to here at the Pocklington Arts Centre, which was a pretty big gig for Pocklington to get them there. So, good, like them.
First aid kit, of course, two Swedish young ladies keeping the ABBA theme going, naturally. and not Keep On Keeping On, but Silver Lining. And I felt, Tessa, suddenly a song we could probably feature in Sound and Country Vision.
Most definitely, yes.
So slipping by in 2015, but what the heck, it's only 3 years behind five. Let's keep on moving. That's the important thing.
We'll keep it fresh.
Malcolm, we have just actually been sharing some time, and he's with us still, which is wonderful. He's here for the whole programme, with the author of How's That? The Six Sixers Ball Mystery. Now, I know you're mostly a horse racing commentator, Malcolm, when you're not acting, when you're not after looking after Ross Tomlinson, and indeed your daughter Eleanor Tomlinson doing all the joys of Poldark, etc. But Malcolm, and something else of course called Art, which you're performing. Malcolm's back on the stage again, and we've been invited. Good to see you. I know, it's just a tease ahead. But what's your view about cricket, Malcolm?
I love a bit of cricket. I'm quite a big Yorkshire fan. I go and watch them play a little bit. I've seen them play at Scarborough a few times. Mm-hmm. And I'm into the test matches.
So
I love it.
If I can take time back a bit to when at least three of us who are currently co-hosting the Midweek Drive were actually still on the planet in some way, shape or form, 50 years ago, back in 1968, yes, the 20th century, Malcolm. Do you remember when Sir Gary Sobers, let me get the name right, honestly, what was in that coffee? I really don't know. Sir Gary Sobers was actually fated in Glamorgan for actually striking six times six runs. Six balls, six overs, hence six sixes.
You know, I'm almost ashamed to admit that I am old enough to remember that.
How old were you?
In one over.
That's right. So how old were you 50 years ago then, Malcolm? Come on, no, you can't ask a woman her age, but you can ask a man his.
Well, I was in short pants.
So was I.
There speaks a man who was commenting on Stoke City getting thrashed by Leeds United over the weekend.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on from that, the ball that Malcolm Nash actually bowled...
It was made by Stuart Surridge, and the ball that was sold by Christie's
for £26,000 plus...
Or £26,400, was made by Duke & Son. So quite clearly, it is not the ball, but Christie's, to date, won't admit it, and...
I was going to say, is that a genuine ball? Because didn't one disappear down the high street?
Well, in fact, the first two went out of the ground but came back... And then the last one went out of the ground and down the street, and a little boy picked it up and brought it back 2 days later. And he was given another Stuart Surridge ball as a thank you present.
And he went into teaching. What else can you say?
And then Gary Sobers took the original Stuart Surridge ball back to Nottingham. And I think what happened, and this is the root of the problem, the root of the Six Sixes ball mystery, is that when he gave it to a friend back in Nottingham, he put his hand into his bag and he pulled out the nearest ball, which happened to be the wrong ball made by Duke & Son Nottingham. And suddenly, this Duke & Son ball became the magical Six Sixes ball. And it's gone on now for,
50 years.
Well, the dispute started in 2006 because a lot of people knew that Glamorgan only used Stuart Surridge balls. And there was a lot of unrest before the sale of the ball. There was a lot of disquiet amongst the Glamorgan players, including Malcolm Nash. But Christie's went ahead with it. And what I'm trying to do in my own little way is try to persuade Christie's that this year, the 50th anniversary of the Six Sixes, wouldn't be a bad year, a bad time to actually say, we made a mistake. It ain't the ball.
Confess, somebody bought a ringer for thousands of pounds.
Yes, for £26,400. A man in India, a man called Neville Chewley, and then he ran into...
Nice man. Didn't think he was going to be that so nice, but as he evolved, as his narrative came out, I thought, he's okay.
He ran into problems. When the ball finally arrived at New Delhi Airport in 2008, the world financial crisis, Malcolm, had started, and he couldn't afford to pay the import tax on it, so it became unclaimed.
In a financially impecunious situation.
He was indeed, Alex. And the ball was basically impounded in New Delhi Airport for 18 months and then sold it in an online auction. And can you believe the guy that bought it in India then tried to sell it back to the bloke who paid £26,400 for it? It's the most... Honestly, it's the most incredible story I have ever come across in my whole career.
I was particularly impressed with
Bollywood film script,
Bollywood. Yeah.
I was just going to say this should be a documentary or something.
Well, I tried to get a documentary sorted 5 years ago. I couldn't.
It's the BBC, you don't want to watch that one.
I have had a bit of interest from a couple of theatre directors. The problem we've got, Alex, and you'll appreciate this, and maybe Tess, you will as well, there's got to be a love interest.
Mm. And well, there's Josie. Boost up Josie's role. Well, she lovingly cared for. She could actually see the actual sort of the cloth that she was wrapped.
She was given the ball by the man that Gary Sobers gave it to, and then she wrapped it in some Nottingham lace and kept it in her makeup drawer for 31 years.
And she only put it up for auction because of medical health.
No, but you need love interest between a man and a woman.
Yeah,
normally.
she's got a partner.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You could work something.
You can have Malcolm playing the partner.
Kill Linus, exactly. You can direct it.
Exactly.
I'll leave it to you two to write the script then.
Malcolm's already in pole position to actually take on some of the routines of that, but maybe even the investigative journalist, the dogged determination that's actually sweet.
I must be honest, it is such an amazing story, and if I could find somebody, I wanted to actually write the screenplay for, or rather the script for How's That the Play, but... Mm. As I say, I had interest from Nottingham and from Swansea, but in the end, that didn't materialise. But it's still there, and it's still, in my view, a terrific story.
It will emerge. That's the important thing. Malcolm, any questions you'd like to put to Graham Lloyd, who is also the author of Daffodil Days, Glamorgan's Glorious Summer, and has done the biography of Jan Molby, former Liverpool and Denmark footballer, and indeed Terry Yarrath, of course, father of Gabby Logan, as well as, of course, Cardiff City's official centenary book, and indeed does all sorts of wonderful bits and pieces there. It's over. Have you ever actually met each other, by the way? Because I don't think we have,
Graham, have we?
No.
But you're not related to David Lloyd, are you?
I've got a story I can tell you, but I wonder whether I ought to or not. I'm not actually, but a lot of people think I'm his son, because his name is Graham Lloyd.
Is this because you like all the fitness clubs?
No, it's nothing to do with that. It's simply because my name is Graham Lloyd, and Graham Lloyd, son of David Lloyd, Bumble, he was a cricketer for a while, and he became an umpire. And I've done my talk on the Six Sixes to various cricket societies, and people do come up to me and say, "Are you Graham Lloyd?"
You are the Graham Lloyd.
I am, but
the midweek drives Graham Lloyd. I am, no more.
But I am not Graham Lloyd the cricketer, and I am not related to Bumble, Malcolm.
Apparently he once did an interview, I think it was for a radio station up in the Lake District, and they thought they were getting Clive Lloyd, and he turned up. must have been a bit of a shock.
And if it was David Lloyd George, there'd be another man entirely.
Absolutely.
Malcolm, you're on stage yourself in a few weeks' time. It's a return to the boards for your good self. Would you like to share with us the joy of art?
Well, yeah, lovely. It's a three-hander. I've been asked to do it by the little local professional theatre in town, East Riding Theatre. And we open on the 27th of September, which is a Thursday, and we play through till Saturday, the 20th of October. So no excuses for not coming, Alex, and organising a coach party.
That's quite a long run, isn't it? Almost 3 weeks?
Well, it's about 3.5 weeks.
So it's
good. It's been directed by a youngish chap called Martin Hudson, and it's one of his first ventures into directing, so that's very exciting.
So what's it about then, Malcolm? Tell us a little bit about it. Sell it to us.
Right, okay. Three friends, all middle-aged male friends, have been friends for quite a long time. One of them is into contemporary modern art, and he buys a painting. He spends $100,000 on a painting, and it's white with a few off-white diagonal lines on it. And he invites his friends around to see it, and the first one pops around and looks at it with an incongruous expression on his face and just says, "That's and I can't mention the name.
Of course,
that's
exactly.
Rubbish.
Exactly.
That's, that's rubbish, as they say in Yorkshire.
Yeah, precisely.
Exactly. And then it's all about the, you know, how much friendship means, and it's a comedy, and but it's got some lots of lovely undertones about the value of friendship, and you know how careful you have to be with people's feelings and all that sort of thing. But it's a good fun piece, and you know, hoping it'll go really well.
So
but it should go real well. It's been on in the West End, and so it's a proven play. But
yes, but it hasn't featured your good self yet, Malcolm. Yeah, this is the critical line. This will be the thing that will lift it to a whole new level.
So what will this
chance to ruin it? Yeah.
So what will this mean for your horse racing commentary?
Well, it means I've got to have some time off, actually, Graham. Yeah. So I'm actually flat to the boards with the horse racing stuff at the moment. I've just done the Yorkshire Festival, which is 9 consecutive days at all the tracks in Yorkshire.
Oh, brilliant.
Because I'm rehearsing in September, the days that I had agreed to do for Sky in September, they've said, well, can we shove them back to August?
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, that's fine, but it means I'm just running around like an idiot.
That's the reason he's not with us in the studio tonight, let's be honest.
Exactly. I'm going to be in Newcastle tomorrow and Edinburgh on Friday and Ayr on the west coast of Scotland on Saturday.
Oh, so. Right. How long have you been doing this then?
Oh, gosh, about 20-odd years.
Yeah.
Cut a very long story short, I was doing a pantomime with John Noakes, as in Get Down, Shep. Back in the 80s, and his agent asked me if I wanted to do some voice work for a company in the city, and it turned out to be Weathercall, which was an information service before the internet on the phone, a premium rate service. They had a sister company called Racecall, which was a telephone information service for commentaries, and I started working for them as a freelancer and met lots of commentators and then eventually got out on the track. And so that's where it all started.
And you still get the buzz when they say, and they're off?
But you know, we have to say that ourselves now, Chris.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I meant. When you say it, sorry.
I've been privileged to share the commentator's box with Malcolm as an observer at various events in Newcastle, etc. In fact, last time, I think you're riding yourself, Malcolm, in Newmarket in the celebrity jockey scenario. But, you know, this man is awesome. You know, and I have to say, in terms of the art of commentary, whilst I would have a stab at terms of, shall we say, association football, I would just not even enter the field of horse racing.
Well, I must admit, I did my first game, as you've already mentioned, I did Leeds versus Stoke. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll carry on doing this until the day, and you probably know what I mean, Malcolm, when you put the headphones on and you don't feel a rush of adrenaline or a nice feeling that this is where you want to be.
Oh, gosh, and you know, I'd be worried if I didn't have that little butterfly feeling in my in my tummy before the race. Yeah, and Alex says he couldn't do what I do, but there's no way I could do what he does or you do. Honestly, I couldn't. I'd be lost, you know.
I'm still learning.
Oh, well, look, I mean, Tess, how does it feel to be part of the Mutual Appreciation Society?
Well, it's incredible. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Quick, Tessa, press the button.
Celebrate and rejoice! The Midweek Drive team is back after a whole 7 days with the best in chat, guests and audio delights on Siren 107.3 FM.
We wanted him to underplay that particular
thing. Who is that guy? Sign him up.
It's still there. It's still there. That's the important thing. So, tickets presumably, are they on sale as yet for art? Can people go online?
They are. They're on the East Riding Theatre website, Alex.
East Riding Theatre is the go-to place.
How strange. He's a horse commentator, and it's called East Riding.
Nice.
Look at that link there. Good link.
Very good. Very good.
That's the East Riding Theatre in Beverley, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's a wonderful little place. I once performed part of my Six Sixes show there.
I think I did a couple of songs.
Yeah, and I can't remember the name of the person, but they were very, very nice. And it's a really good sort of venture from what I can see.
It is. It's a self-funded little professional theatre, which is incredible. You know, I mean, they got the building from the council, Graham, but everything else is self-funded. So they've got to put bums on seats.
Yeah.
And it seems to have worked, which is terrific.
It just shows the splendid nature of life in the universe. And whilst we're talking about confusing Lloyds, etc., has to be pointed out that Malcolm Tomlinson, not related as far as we know to David Tomlinson, of course, who had various Disney films to his thought, and is actually up with us next. However, he is related to Eleanor Tomlinson, who has produced a whole heap of other goodies with her latest album, which is doing so well. Well, who needs Paul Dark, basically? Is she going to do the stadium tour? Will it be a case of Eleanor turns up at Wembley and saying, hello, whatever?
I think if you said to Eleanor you've got to do a stadium tour, she'd run for the hills.
Do you think so?
I think I heard her on the radio the other day talking about this album that she's just bought out. Is that right? She was on...
Yeah, she's done a few of them. She was on Steve Wright recently.
That's when I heard her.
Well, hopefully...
She has a lovely voice. I had no idea you were related to her.
We trained her well with the Midweek Drive, Malcolm. That's all we like to say.
Oh, God.
So what would you recommend, Malcolm? I mean, we could go Let's Go Fly a Kite with No Relation David Tomlinson, or we could go Homeward Bound, Tapestry, Hushabye Mountain, The Spinning Wheel, She Moved Through the Fur, or The Wild Mountainside by indeed the aforementioned Eleanor Tomlinson, your daughter.
I'd love The Wild Mountainside myself. That would be one of my favourites on the album.
The Wild Mountainside. Well, yeah. And of course the quid pro quo is you need, bearing in mind we've got Tessa Snart and of course the fabulous author of the Six Sixers Ball Mystery, Graham Lloyd, in the studio with us to do that build up in your own unique style after of course we ask you those last two questions. Tessa, last two questions for Malcolm, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I've loved it. Thank you, Tessa.
And will you return to us in the future?
I'd be absolutely delighted.
He's in the studio, technically, on the night before we go off to see Graham perform in Nottingham. The 29th of August, I think we have penciled it.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's great. Well, I shall look forward to hearing more about that.
Here we are. No, we will be time travelling. You'll be with us the night before we go to see Graham in Nottingham.
Oh, yes, just outside
Nottingham. Exactly.
I think we're talking Wednesday, the 29th of August.
When Malcolm will be here.
I'm doing my talk, my show, on the
30th. Exactly. Right. We can't have this sort of clash, otherwise, it'd be a surfeit of riches. Anyway, Malcolm, hopefully you've managed to actually psych yourself up now for this horse racing comedy esque introduction to The Wild Mountainside with Eleanor Tomlinson. In your own time, sir, take it away.
They're going down towards the final 2 furlongs. Graham Lloyd, broadcaster, in front, followed by Tessa Snart. Here comes on the outside Alex Lefchuk making significant ground. Sheila McKenzie seems to be nowhere today. Inside the final half furlong, they go. And it's Graham Lloyd in front, but here on the outside, Eleanor Tomlinson on the Wild Mountainside!
Within grasp, hear the islands call. The last mile is upon us. I'll carry you if you fall. I know the armor's heavy now. I know the heart is tired. It's beautiful just over the wild mountainside. Snow is falling all over, out of clear blue sky. Crow is flying high over, you and I are gonna wander. High up where the air is rare, wild horses ride. It's beautiful, let's go over the wild mountainside. It's beautiful. it's beautiful just roaming the wild mountain side.
Yes, the wild mountainside could be describing Derbyshire. Could it really? Could it be describing Derbyshire? Kira Alsbrook, is it a wild mountainside though? Is it just a case of no? As long as I've actually got Zippy, my faithful hound, all's well with the world. Are you there, Kira Alsbrook, or have you just fallen off the line? Yes!
Hi, sorry, well, no.
No! What? Who? Where? You see, this, Graham, is one of the reasons why there's such a tension between Nottingham Forest fans and Derby County fans, you see. Somehow.
Oh, no.
What, exactly. Just to set the scene, Kira Alsbrook will be coming to the University of Lincoln in a matter of weeks now, because she's done startlingly well with her results in terms of like, B and double A's and doing all sorts of things. She's also been the voice of BBC Children in Need over the last few weeks, so she's all set up to actually be a midweek driver, Tessa.
I think so. I think she's already got, you know, earned her wings.
Well, steady on.
Drive at wings.
She's going to work our way through that process.
They're growing.
So, what have you been doing over the last few months, and how have those people with BBC Local Radio been dealing with you?
Well, lots to say. To do with when it comes to radio, well, the actual company itself, I've been doing a lot of PR-related things for them, so we've had, it isn't something very, it's kind of big over here, but it probably isn't generally, but we've had, like, all of the Trent Barton buses redone and stuff, and I had to go round uptown and hand out leaflets and have this horrible megaphone thing that didn't work properly.
Right, let's just dial back a few moments, Kira, because there's too much excitement for one little segment here as the time approaches 12 minutes to 6 o'clock. You've been handing out leaflets. Now, this is for which festival?
It wasn't for a festival.
Okay, it's for...
It was just for a bus company, because it's something that a lot of the local people in the community take quite big over here.
Right. So what have you been doing with this bus company that clearly is highly popular in Derbyshire, but not necessarily that well known in terms of Lincolnshire?
Trent Barton, and in Ilkeston, we have quite low funded buses to get from here, there and everywhere. So obviously they had a refurbishment, and obviously a lot of, because of where Ilkeston's situated, a lot of the, shall we say, elderly people,
yes,
obviously,
so,
you know,
so a bit
rely
like,
on it.
A bit like Graham and myself, perhaps. Sorry, Graham.
That's
not quite.
Interesting to say.
Okay, there's a challenge you with it, and basically you've been dealing with it, which is great. So you've been campaigning many ways, Kira.
Yeah, basically.
Good. That's just no basically about it. Just you have been. End of. In terms of the voice of children in need, how has that been going?
Well, funnily enough, it's not really good news. I haven't actually heard anything from the Childline representative.
Well, don't,
I don't know if you're
on holiday
or anything.
Kira, listen, you know, the bottom line is, as we're well aware, you can actually be dealing with people who've bought cricket balls in India. Sometimes you just don't hear anything, do you, Graham?
Absolutely.
You know? And no news can sometimes be good news, so don't worry about that. It will all pan out perfectly in the end. I mean, I seem to recall you having challenges actually being contacted by some of our very own University of Lincoln admissions people. Even that, you know, don't worry. It's all coming through together.
Oh,
that's
don't get me started on the admissions team.
Don't get me started. No, please.
So what are you coming here to study then?
Communications and public relations.
All right.
She's opening up a whole brave new world.
Yeah.
And she's also got some radio experience with which community radio station that you've been featured on?
Erewash Sound.
Erewash Sound.
All right.
So it all sort of pans out there. Tessa, any questions you'd like to put to Kira about anything, really? I mean, you know, she's taken off in a completely different line. I had no indication whatsoever if we'd be going into Ilkeston transport situations. But then again, what better way to actually set the scene for Angela Rippon, who, of course, recently produced an awesome documentary on women truck drivers in Northern Ireland?
Oh, I was just going to say, I worked on the Chris Evans breakfast show, Children in Need, last November. I think it was last November. It was really, really enjoyable. I was sort of, I was a postcode checker. So I'd sort of, as the bids come in.
Postcode checker.
So as the bids come in, I had to go online and check, you know, check that they're legit and all of that. And it was very, very fun.
You mean to say, Tessa, that there could be illegit bids that could be coming through?
Well, you never know. But like it, saying, they were all very good, all very legit. And
people coming from different parts of the world. I didn't mention that.
And on the last day, we all came in with our pudsy ears. It was so much fun and obviously for a good cause, so...
Your pudsy ears. Did you get to keep your pudsy ears?
I did, yes. Oh. I have got, but yeah, I'm sure. I got a little pudsy teddy bear, a little T-shirt. I've
nice
got
to
it
see
all.
The nation's licence fee has been put to good use.
Again. It was really good. So are you planning for this year's? Is that what you're doing?
A few weeks' time, she'll be in the same studio as you will be, Tessa. Okay. This very studio. That's the idea.
Oh,
I know. Phenomenal.
So this is all new to you as well? You haven't done this before? It's sort of a new experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when it comes to radio-based, I've been in the studio quite a lot, but I haven't really been presenting many shows as such. I've just mainly been doing the marketing and all that kind of thing. But when it comes to, like, university, that's definitely a new experience.
I'm kind of thinking we have Kira Olsbrook in one corner, we have Chloe Rose in another.
Put them together.
I just set the touch paper, I'll just leave, and that's it. that will power up the entire city of Lincoln for at least 3 months.
I think everybody will get involved then. You know that they would have to. They wouldn't sit there quiet, would they?
Frankly, it'd be amazing. Of course, Kira unaware of Chloe Rose, and Chloe Rose as yet unaware of Kira Olsbrook.
They need to meet.
Who knows? It's a possibility. Kira, we need to ask, how's the doggy? How is Zippy?
Oh, the doggy. He is... Well, let's say, if I could use explicit language right now, I would, but he's okay other than that. He's got a new fetish thing for digging. I know that's what dogs do, but he digs, and then he will say, poo, and then he will dig it over the hole. I don't know.
And is this in the living room or in the dining room? I mean, is which part of the house is he actually doing this kind of
thing? Thank goodness.
I don't know, these Derbyshire people, they might just start actually a bit like the old sort of traditional cave routine. They sort of gather around the campfire. I mean, you're not too far away from Derbyshire, obviously, in your experience, Graham.
I've never heard anything like this. I'm
no.
Well, he isn't an actual dog, that's the thing. He's more of a, he's a feral animal, to be quite honest.
He's not an actual dog. Now, again, I've got to push you a little bit on this one, Kira.
Well, you are testing her today.
If it barks like a dog, if it walks like a dog, usually we'd kind of say, well, it is a dog, it's a canine. Mm-hmm. How would you actually define Zippy? I mean, is he confused? Does he actually think he is a character from the series Rainbow back in the day?
I think he's probably a mixture of the character from Rainbow, because he's a little bit ditzy and a little bit stupid. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, he does have the... I don't know, really. I think sometimes he thinks he's more of a cat, because he runs away from other dogs as well.
Right. So Zippy clearly has a personality crisis here. We need to obviously
unpack
this.
Yeah, it's quite paradoxical, to be honest.
Do you think, Tessa, that your recently fantastic award, your success in winning a light box from the Sleepyhead Clinic would actually help in this particular instance?
I think it might do. I mean, it's proven to help humans. Why not dogs?
We'll find out more about Tessa's light box. It's not that heavy, honestly. Sorry. In a few moments.
Alex,
I'm sorry.
Some of your jokes, they really are awful. But we like them.
Dick Emery.
We're laughing on.
His member is still out there. But still, what the hey? Let's just take it into a different line entirely. Kira, at least the good thing about Zippy is he doesn't believe he's a large man in a bear suit, which indeed, Bungo Bear back in the day. Actually, even though it was radio, and I pointed out to the whole cast of Rainbow, it was radio, he insisted on coming in dressed in his bear suit. I thought it was a fetish. I didn't want to go into it at this stage, but that's okay. It's how it happened. It's done and dusted. Tessa.
Yes.
Would you like to put those last two questions to Kira, who's currently waiting for people to call her? We called her. We got the answer phone. We called her again. She answered.
First call of the day. Nobody else rings me.
Well, we'll get your
social... I don't.
We'll get your social media sorted out, no doubt. Tessa, would you like to share those last two questions with K.A. Carol's
K.A.? Yeah. Have you?
Her very own car.
I've actually got one as well.
Nice.
Sorry.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us?
Yes.
And will you be returning to the show soon?
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant.
Well, that's okay then. Somebody remind me where I am, Miami or Timbuktu. Did I ever tell you my uncle's monkey ran away from me?
ceiling, my ears turning into the floor.